On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
This is Carolina Catholic Media Showcase.
I'm Elizabeth Harris, Senior Regional Programs Manager with Sidewalk Advocates for Life, the largest pro-life sidewalk outreach organization in the country. And I am so pleased to be here today with Lauren Muzica, the founder, president, and CEO of Sidewalk Advocates for Life. Thank you so much for being here with me today, Lauren.
Thanks for having me, Elizabeth. Good to be with you.
I am so excited to have this conversation with you about the changing abortion landscape in the country, and especially in North Carolina, and to help our listeners understand what they can do to reach out to pregnant moms who are considering abortion, to help save them from that anguish and to save the lives of their preborn children.
Absolutely. It is so paramount that we understand that in this post-Roe landscape, we are all sidewalk advocates, right? So I truly believe the discussion that we're having here today is for people who go to abortion facilities, go to abortion referral facilities, or just out in the church and in the culture, reaching hearts and minds. So again, thank you for this really important conversation today.
Yeah, thank you. So let's start with the big picture. What exactly does Sidewalk Advocates for Life do, Lauren?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as you know, Elizabeth, Sidewalk Advocates for Life is America's largest sidewalk outreach organization. In short, we train, equip, and support people just like you who are watching this broadcast right now, who are listening to this, people who have a heart to go to the darkest place in their community, the local abortion or abortion referral facility and offer loving, life-affirming alternatives to abortion-bound women and men. Since we began on the sidewalk about 9 years ago, the Lord has done so much. We're getting ready any day now to mark 20,000 babies saved and mothers served. We're also celebrating 85 eternal souls who have left the abortion business with the help and witness of a sidewalk advocate. And we're getting ready to celebrate abortion facility number 31 that has closed its doors for good. I will be on the sidewalk in Pensacola, Florida on April the 1st of this year on our anniversary, celebrating that closure with that community. So again, to God be the glory, great things He has done. Since we started in April of 2014, we've now grown to about 239 teams in the United States, in Mexico City, Puerto Rico, Colombia, and we're growing each and every week. So I can't wait to see what God is going to do next through the yes of people, again, just like you.
Yes. Praise God. And I can personally testify to the power of sidewalk advocacy. I received my training over 3 years ago, and I'm the co-leader of a team in Asheville, North Carolina. I personally go out to the sidewalk about twice per month, along with other members of my team, to reach out to everyone that we encounter outside of the abortion facility. And lately, I have to say the challenge has been bigger, because of the numbers of people coming to this facility have been growing. Lauren, can you help our audience understand the changes that have been happening across the country since Roe versus Wade was overturned?
Right. So it has been a tectonic shift that we've experienced here in the United States of America when it comes to abortion. Last June, the Supreme Court handed down the Dobbs v. Jackson case, which in effect overturned Roe v. Wade and Casey v. Planned Parenthood, the landmark abortion cases that imposed abortion on demand on all 50 states back in 1973 and beyond, right? And when the Dobbs decision was handed down, what it did in effect is hand the decision back to the people of every state. I tell people it's like abortion is no longer stuck in a constitutional deep freeze. You know, it's almost like it had been stolen from the people and made this federal issue. And now it's back in the hands of our state legislatures. It's also true that U.S. Congress could pass a law that imposes a particular law again on every one of our states. That's a possibility as well. But what we have before us right now is that in every state, the people can make a decision whether they're going to protect life or not protect life, right? And so we see about 14 states that have run to protect life, like my home state of Texas. Texas protects life at conception. We see some other states that are a little bit in the mushy middle, like Georgia or Ohio, states like this that have latched onto heartbeat bills, protecting life at about 6 weeks of pregnancy. We've got states like Florida, right smack dab in the middle at 15 weeks of pregnancy, even though we believe now Florida's headed the right direction. And then we see other states where it's extremely liberal, New Mexico, Illinois, states like it that allow abortion until the point of birth, unrestricted, absolutely unbelievable. And so what we've seen in effect is that the battle lines have been drawn for life, that we've got states that are doing what they're called to do in protecting the health and welfare and safety of its women and children and families. And then we've got other states that are not regulating abortion at all. And these have been dubbed largely abortion destination or abortion tourist states. So abortion businesses that were formerly in an abortion restricted state, many of them have chosen to move maybe just across the border or across the United States to a state like New Mexico or Illinois or North Carolina and beyond that allows abortion to a certain point, right? So that they continue to buffer their bottom line, feed the bottom line of the abortion industry, which is money and child sacrifice. So again, this is a scenario that is so interesting all over the United States. Looking, for example, at the contrast between my home state of Texas and New Mexico. I visited New Mexico last fall, and I actually got a chance to go visit these abortion destination communities, Borderland, Texas, New Mexico, Albuquerque, even Hobbs, New Mexico, where a Whole Woman's Health from Texas was looking to move in and take over that small community, that population of 50,000 people. And they would have become an abortion tourist city if the citizens had not risen up and said, this is not going to happen here in Lee County, right? And it was so chilling to stand on that sidewalk and look out at these parking lots and see license plates from my home state and from other states in the South. So again, we're seeing in post-Roe America how the pro-abortion states and now the abortion-restricted states really are joined in this huge system where women are looking possibly to get across state lines to get an abortion. Of course, many of them are going online and ordering mail-order abortion-causing drugs. That's another big frontier of post-Roe America. But what we're seeing largely is that we need to be on the ground still in these abortion restricted states to reach the women of our communities, to be salt and light to women facing unexpected pregnancies so that they're not tempted through their crisis to make an investment of time, energy, and money to going across state lines. Because when they get to these abortion destinations, it's so much harder to see them turn around, for them to get their mind around a new solution to their perceived crisis or problem. If we can meet them on the sidewalk in Texas and Louisiana and Tennessee and beyond, we can catch many of them, let them know about life-affirming resources and options, and really alleviate some of the flow of traffic going into these abortion destinations. Again, I want to be clear that I probably don't need to say this, but just for the sake of saying it, the Dobbs decision was the right decision for a million reasons, from a legal perspective, from a people and human rights perspective. The Dobbs decision is saving lives today. The states that have chosen to protect life, women are literally saying to some of our pregnancy help organizations, because it's illegal in my state, I have chosen life for my child. I've chosen to keep my baby, right? But we always knew that there would be a population amenable to travel. And so between chemical abortion and the folks who are amenable to travel, this is the new frontier of post-Roe America, so to speak.
Yes. Yes, thank you. And, you know, as a senior regional programs manager, you know, I hear a lot from sidewalk advocates in the states where abortion is legal. To a greater or lesser extent, they are all experiencing growing numbers. But in North Carolina, the situation is particularly dramatic. News stories earlier this month reported that in our state, we have seen a 37% increase in abortions, largely because of women coming here from states where abortion is illegal. So it is horrifying to realize that we are living in an abortion destination state. In fact, in Asheville, there has been such an increase in out-of-state clients that the abortion facility has increased the days it schedules abortions from once a week to at least three times a week.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. And again, this is a scenario playing out all over the country. And I just want you to know, Elizabeth, and everyone listening to this broadcast, that North Carolina has been particularly close to my heart as a Texan who's here joking, as I joke, right, in the promised land and seeing, you know, my great state protect life. I know it's heavy on the hearts of so many faithful to be in these abortion destination communities and states. You know, I think that there's two ways that we can really approach this problem. I mean, first of all, this is all underscored by prayer. Prayer is the most important thing that we can be doing here in post-Roe America, asking our Lord about what he's calling us to do, what our next steps are, praying for an end to abortion in our communities and our states, right? It all begins and ends with prayer for sure. I think logically, when we look at this problem, what we need to do, of course, is be there for women at these abortion facilities and abortion destination states, for these communities, for your community, Elizabeth. This just got a lot harder, right? Because you're not just handling the folks who are coming from your community and referring them to local life-affirming resources, but now you're handling the influx from out of state, and you're having to connect women with resources, maybe not just at that moment, in your community, but also back home, right? We're having to ensure a continuum of care back home and promising that we're still going to be there for them if they turn the car around. And so it makes sense. Absolutely. Let's be at the abortion facilities. But again, I cannot say enough how important it is that our friends and neighbors understand that part of helping North Carolina is being on the ground in Tennessee and Kentucky and some of the pro-life states that are near you, still being salt and light to women facing unexpected pregnancies, being at our abortion referral centers. Because what a lot of people don't realize is that the abortion industry, again, is very much on the ground in post-Roe America and the abortion-restricted states, in states where abortion is banned or limited greatly. And so if we can be there to meet those women before, again, they make that investment of time, energy, and money, it's a much easier sell, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. So we all need to be working together. Bottom line, it does not matter where you live in America. Right, right. We still need to be there for those facing unexpected pregnancies.
Yes. And I just want to mention, I know that you were a part of a closure celebration in Charlotte, North Carolina, not too long ago. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened there?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you asked about that. So I think it was just less than a year ago that our Vice President Nate and I, and you as well, Elizabeth, were celebrating with the Sidewalk Advocates of Charlotte, North Carolina, a local closure. I believe that Charlotte had about 4 abortion facilities across their metro area. And this was a facility that the Sidewalk Advocates had chosen to pray and to reach out in front of. Yeah. And I mean, you can't make this story up. This is so beautiful. By the time that we saw the closure of that facility. And again, it had been a long journey. The Sidewalk Advocates many days had been out there and thought nothing is happening. You know, maybe they didn't get to mark a victory many of those days, or the workers seemed to be blowing them off. People were driving by and giving them an interesting sign that they were number one or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And so there were so many days that they were out on the sidewalk putting up with so much. I mean, again, oh gosh, another thing just came to mind that one of the co-leaders, a priest, Father Peter, that had been out there alongside the 3 other female co-leaders, the abortion center escorts were drawing satanic symbols around his feet. Yeah. So when I say persecution, when I say that there were days that they felt, you know, kind of weighed down, that's an understatement, but they persevered. Yeah. They know that prayer and outreach is powerful and that many victories do go unseen in this battle. Yes. So anyways, long story short, I remember being out there in the public right of way and realizing that 3 workers had left that facility during the time that they had been praying and reaching out and gone to Abby Johnson's abortion worker ministry. And then there were none. Again, a former Planned Parenthood director that is now running that beautiful abortion healing ministry and our worker healing ministry. And we were headed out there, and wow, all of a sudden we met the manager and 2 other workers. And, you know, they had been so moved by this presence of the Sidewalk Advocates, by this community coming together and standing up for life, that they were even present on the scene to celebrate the closure of this facility. And we even found out that there were some days that over 50% of the business had been turned away by the abortion facility manager because she had been so affected by the prayer. And so, again, this is evidence that abortion facilities can close in North Carolina or anywhere under the most tricky circumstances.
Yes. Yes. And that any heart is worthy of conversion, right? Like, we know that those souls mean so much to God, right? So each and every soul. So it's especially powerful when workers leave the industry. I know Abby Johnson was in Charlotte recently for the March for Life, actually, and with a couple of the workers. So very powerful testimonies they shared there. So, you know, it is just so important for us to remember, Lauren, now more than ever, it can be challenging to keep up the energy for pro-life work when sometimes we feel like everyone from judges to state officials to, you know, the federal government is working to support the abortion industry, but we just continue to reach out to pregnant women in as many ways as possible. In fact, I have a great story from Greensboro and Winston-Salem, where our local program leader is Bobby Singleton. Now, after attending our Sidewalk Advocates for Life, a national sidewalk advocacy conference in Dallas in 2019, Bobby heard the Southwest Coalition for Life founder Mark Cavalier speak, and he was inspired to found the Triad Coalition for Life. So that's inspiring enough, but Bobby didn't stop there. The Triad now has its very own medical mobile clinic that goes out to serve pregnant women. It's actually the first Save the Storks mobile unit not affiliated with a pregnancy center. They are operating as a mobile-only medical pregnancy resource center. So pretty cutting edge.
Unbelievable. I love Bobby's story that he came to our conference and he was inspired to just take the next step. And for him, that was full-time pro-life work, right? Mm-hmm. And the Triad Coalition for Life, since Bobby said yes to that and brought on a team and, you know, developed a sidewalk advocacy program and so much more, the fruit that has come from that yes is absolutely mind-blowing, right? Mm. Mobile units in particular are such an incredible tool in the battle for life.
Yes.
We're seeing that when these are parked at abortion or abortion referral facilities, they save lives. Now, it's so important that you have a sidewalk component with that. A lot of people think when they get a mobile unit, it's like, well, if I build it, they will come. And
people don't
usually wander onto weird buses. And I mean, again, the buses are so well done and they're woman oriented and they share all the free services, but there often needs to be some sort of human connection, yeah, right? Saying, hey, these are our free resources. We have a nurse on the bus. She can see you right now. You know, we encourage you to pause here with your appointment at the abortion facility and just try all of our pregnancy help services on the bus. And we know that when we get a woman in front of a sonogram and holistic options counseling, it is a game changer for life, right?
Yes.
And so Bobby has experienced that firsthand, using that Save the Storks mobile unit to help save lives right on site.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen in particular in the abortion restricted states that when we put these in front of referral facilities where women again are deciding whether or not they're going to cross state lines to obtain an abortion, or we take these out into the public square, so to speak, that we take these out near the university campus or a high school. When we take these out into a high traffic area in our community and we invite people to avail themselves of our life affirming services, that can often change someone's whole journey in the battle for life. And so these are vitally important. We love to see these, especially where a pregnancy help center may be very far away. You know, if we're sending a woman 30 minutes down the road to a pregnancy help center, it can be a much tougher sell coming from the abortion facility, because again, we're expecting her to abandon her appointment there and try our services. If we're right there, there's a much higher likelihood that she's going to at least pause and give the pro-life movement a chance and give life a chance, right? So I just encourage everyone watching this that if their heart is moved to maybe look at this as a solution, we work with great mobile unit providers like Save the Storks and ICU Mobile and Thrive and Vans for Life and beyond.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. That's such a great point, Lauren. And it brings us to another really important topic. So how are sidewalk advocates reaching out to women in states where abortion is banned or limited if the abortion facility is permanently closed rather than converted into an abortion referral facility? How can sidewalk advocates in those states connect with women who need resources and loving support? And what can states like North Carolina learn from these techniques?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you are in a state where abortion is banned or limited, you first want to see, of course, if there's an abortion referral facility near you, right? So again, these are facilities that existed prior to Dobbs quite often, usually Planned Parenthood family planning clinics, as they termed them, that didn't do abortions within their walls, but surely referred for them. And they're playing an even greater role in post-war America. We've even seen how abortion facilities that are now in abortion restricted states, abortion banned states, became abortion referral facilities. So you want to start there. Again, our team in Houston, Texas, even helped 14 women in 5.5 hours one Friday morning, just a few weeks after the Dobbs decision was handed down, get connected with the mobile ultrasound unit on site there with Houston Coalition for Life, a great pregnancy help organization. And they were able to redirect those women before they chose to go across state lines to take the life of their child. So that's where you want to start, right?
Wow.
At an abortion referral facility. But now we have a lot of communities that don't have an abortion or abortion referral facility. And so in that case, folks can consider going to the proverbial town square, mm-hmm. to going to a high traffic area to hand out information about the local pregnancy resource center, to go with the mobile unit out into the community, right? Yeah. It's so exciting to think that pregnancy help centers, pregnancy, life-affirming pregnancy resource centers outnumber abortion facilities more than 4-1 in this country. So chances are you have these resources in your backyard. You just need to get familiar with them, go visit with them, form a relationship with them, and then take that out into the community. I used to work just before starting Sidewalk Advocates for Life. I used to work for 40 Days for Life mm-hmm. National, which is mm-hmm. the largest prayer vigil mm-hmm. campaign in the world, right? So they do these 12 or 24/7 prayer vigils every spring and fall for 40 days each. Mm-hmm. And what was so beautiful was to see how, you know, prayer and peaceful outreach, whether they were in front of an abortion facility or not, was very efficacious. Mm-hmm. We actually had a handful of prayer campaigns that went out in front of a government building or city hall, and they just had conversation with people, and the Lord brought people across their path who were mm-hmm. considering abortion. Mm. And lives were saved. And so again, if you just make yourself available to the Holy Spirit, however you can in your community, don't be surprised if you see miracles.
Yeah. Yes. Amen. So those are incredible types of outreach that you're doing post-Roe with Sidewalk Advocates for Life. It's just so important for people to remember that even if abortion is banned or limited in a state, there are still pregnant women in that state who are open to the idea of abortion, who are fearful of the future and aren't aware of the local resources all around them that can give them the support they really need to confidently choose life for their babies.
Yeah, absolutely. There really is in the post-Roe landscape such a need for sidewalk advocacy. I mean, first of all, in today's age and culture, we are all sidewalk advocates. Really, we need to be equipped with these resources, whether we stand in front of an abortion or abortion referral facility or not. But again, understanding that these are typically the places that women go to make a decision about an unexpected pregnancy, that's why the people of God have to be there. Peaceful, prayerful, loving, law-abiding outreach is the most effective, as we've seen through the years, right? Yes. And that's why Sidewalk Advocates for Life has answered that clarion call to be the hands and feet of Christ. As He first loved us, we want to walk in His footsteps and stand in the gap and be there for women and families in crisis. And so what's beautiful, as I mentioned earlier, is that in our 9-year history, God has done so much. 20,000 babies saved, 85 workers who have left, 31 facilities. Facility closures and counting, right? We're at about 239 abortion facilities and even a couple referral facilities. Recently, a handful of months after the Dobbs decision was handed down, we counted up all of the abortion and abortion referral facilities in America. And again, going back to that clarion call to be there, we said, how many are there? We need to know. So we counted all of them up and we realized that there were, this is such an interesting number, 777 abortion and abortion referral facilities in America. So we're about 239. We got to get to 777. Again, an exception would be if there's already a group that's there on the ground with doing peaceful, prayerful outreach. We don't want to inhibit that or get in the way of that. So we'll leave those alone. But we want to go to all the uncovered facilities where no one is there, where women are walking in and making these life-altering decisions. The people of God have to be there. Yes. And so we just really want to invite everyone listening to this, that if they have an abortion or abortion referral facility in their community that is uncovered, Sidewalk Advocates for Life might be a solution for them. We've got a comprehensive ready-made training tools and support program that they can avail themselves of. You know, you can go on our website, click the apply button, fill out a 5-minute application. Then our team will do a brief phone consult with you. And once approved, we'll ship you all of our ready-made materials and give you access to all of our online tools and support. You'll be assigned an advisor on our national team, and we journey with you as long as you want to take this journey. Our goal is to help you to be successful. There might be people out there who say, this all sounds really great, but maybe I just want to dip my toe in the water and see if this is for me. Or maybe you're saying, hey, I don't know that I'm necessarily able to go stand outside of an abortion or abortion referral facility, but I do want to be at the ready to be a life-affirming witness in my community, to know what these resources are, to know how to respond well in post-Roe America. So maybe you want to come to our conference this fall, the National Sidewalk Advocacy Conference. It's going to be October 6th through 8th. Yes, 6th through 8th. That's right. In Dallas. I had to stop and say, did I say that right? The web address, I don't know how we got this, is prolifeconference.com. Really easy to remember. prolifeconference.com, October 6th through 8th. We've got incredible speakers. And the theme this year is the sidewalk is everywhere. The sidewalk is everywhere. So we have former Planned Parenthood Director Abby Johnson, who's joining us alongside a slate of a whole bunch of other great speakers across the pro-life, pro-family movement. So again, you do not want to miss this, whether a sidewalk advocate or not. And again, some of you may not be able to get to the sidewalk, may not be able to get to the conference, or maybe you can do one of those things, but either way, you want to make a sacrificial gift of support. Yes. You can go on our website to make that gift as well. And then we also have a national prayer team. So if you are somebody who loves and knows the power of prayer, we could really use you as part of our national prayer team, praying for all of our sidewalk advocates, our national team, and all of these collective efforts. So there you go.
Yes, Lord knows we all need it, especially our leaders and sidewalk advocates that are out there on the front lines. So, Lauren, can you tell us how you got the idea for Sidewalk Advocates for Life and why you decided to start a national organization?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, there are so many great efforts out there, which is why this is a very popular question that a lot of times I get in interviews. You know, how did you see this among the array of all of the wonderful other organizations that are out there, all of the other wonderful efforts? And, you know, how I really see it is that in the body of Christ, you know, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you, that we have all these beautiful legislative efforts, educational efforts. We have prayer, which is the foundation. When I was looking at the landscape, working for 40 Days for Life National a handful of years ago as their campaign strategist and advising their local campaigns, running, you know, their prayer campaign program, I noticed that there wasn't a streamlined, ready-made sidewalk counseling or sidewalk outreach program, right? That some people were finding some good training, but then they were fizzling out because they didn't have infrastructure or support behind them. So I had thought, just as 40 Days for Life was helping people run this huge prayer campaign in their backyard at their local abortion or abortion referral facility, could we have a ready-made program that would teach people how to reach out with their words? And so that really was the inspiration behind Sidewalk Advocates for Life. That was a really hard decision to leave the 40 Days for Life national team. But at one point I had David and Sean, the leader's blessing to leave and to look at forming this great effort. And so again, God has done so much in 9 years, but I think the bottom line is that we are all so busy in the United States of America, right? Yeah. We are moms and dads, businessmen and businesswomen. We don't necessarily always have the time to do the research about best practices when it comes to sidewalk outreach. We don't necessarily have the time to sit down with a former worker or a woman who's experienced abortion, a woman who chose life. You know, why did she choose life? We don't necessarily have the bandwidth to collect all that information and distill best practices. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to do, what we wanted to do at Sidewalk Advocates for Life, was to look at experience on the sidewalk, testimony, research. What is working well? Why is it working well? And really distill that into a program where anybody, no matter how busy they are, if they're at least willing to give some time to this, could say yes to this great mission. Mm.
So beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your yes. Yeah. I wouldn't be here today without your yes, Lauren. So, So abortion, you know, has been described as the biggest human rights issue of our time. But when we're out on the sidewalk, we often encounter different kinds of clients going into the abortion facility or abortion referral facility. Lauren, can you explain some of the other types of outreach that sidewalk advocates are trained to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, in this day and age, we really almost have to be a jack of all trades in front of the abortion or abortion referral facility. The abortion industry is never short on ideas in how to make money off of vulnerable populations, right? So to your point, Elizabeth, we're not just trained to reach out to the client who is considering abortion. We're trained to reach out to the companion who comes with her. And often that can be a lifeline into the facility, you know, that mm-hmm. they can go in and give her the information. If, you know, a mom and a boyfriend show up and she makes a beeline into the facility, then we can reach out to him as he's coming out and smoking a cigarette on the porch or running out to the car to grab something. And we can load him up with all the great information about our local pregnancy resource center. And he can take that inside, right? Mm-hmm. We're there for clients who are experiencing some difficult situations, like maybe they've been through sexual assault, mm-hmm. rape and incest, right? Maybe they've gotten a difficult prenatal diagnosis. They've been told that maybe their baby won't live long after birth. We see sometimes signs of sex trafficking mm-hmm. outside an yep. abortion facility. Sometimes a woman tells us, hey, the doctor told me it's either my life or the baby's. And so I have to do this today. And we're kind of untwisting the misunderstanding and the mm-hmm. lies out there. Again, we don't practice medicine out there, but we're able to right. let them know of the resources right. of a high-risk pro-life OB-GYN that can treat them both as patients and take care of them. But the point is that no matter what we encounter out on the sidewalk, there is a life-affirming response to each one of those more difficult situations, right? Mm-hmm. We can help them to navigate that. We can get them resources. We can get them into the hands of a doctor who will address her crisis and treat the baby also as an equally valuable human being worthy of life and support, right?
Yes.
And so we need to know how to point to those resources. We need to know how to walk through those conversations and give people hope. And so in our training, we have a whole section on more unique abortion situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in other scenarios, non-abortion situations where we may be in front of a Planned Parenthood facility and that facility does well woman exams, breast exams, they do birth control, they do STD, STI testing. Maybe they're doing a follow-up, a two-week checkup after an abortion, right? And so we're meeting all sorts of different clients on the sidewalk. So in each one of those scenarios, if not morally problematic, how do we refer them elsewhere? Or like in the case of birth control, where again, we don't want to advocate for an abortifacient drug or reinforce right. an unhealthy relationship so we can plant seeds for sexual integrity, or we can give her information on a fertility awareness-based model if she's married and she needs a appropriate family planning solution, right? And so the point is that by really filling the needs that are presented to us at the abortion or abortion referral facility, we can pull thousands upon thousands of dollars away from the abortion industry,
yes.
Additional money, healthcare dollars, right? And really give them another solution, like telling them there's a doctor who does it cheaper down the street. Or a lot of our pregnancy resource centers now are equipped to do the well woman exam and the STD, STI testing. So if you're a pregnancy center mm-hmm. that offers that, we want to sell that on the sidewalk, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, being there too for the client after abortion, that we do everything we can to encourage a decision for life on the front end. But should she make that decision, then we want to be the first sign of God's mercy when she's coming out. And so we can give her information on support after abortion, or, you know, Project Rachel, Rachel's Vineyard retreats, and really plant seeds for healing. And that can often prevent future abortions. If we can get her healing, then that can prevent the second and the fifth abortion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then one other thing that I will mention, just because it is so novel and up and coming, is the so-called transgender hormone, you know, therapy services, right? Individuals who are going in saying that they want to transition from one sex and gender to another, which we know, of course, is a misnomer. No one can in essence do that. But these are folks who may be struggling with gender dysmorphia, body dysmorphia, and, you know, they're looking to maybe receive injections of hormones. And we can plant seeds with these folks. We can let them know that there is a network of therapists that will work with them, that there's support out there to help them to love and accept the body and the identity that they've been gifted from our Lord, right?
Right.
And the Ruth Institute, for example, is a great resource that we work with. They've got an incredible resource pamphlet information on this. You know, with Planned Parenthood recently announcing that they are the second largest provider of the so-called transgender hormone therapy services and other things like it. We're having to now navigate some interesting pro-family issues out on the sidewalk and provide life-affirming solutions in those cases as well. So sidewalk advocates in today's day and age, again, truly a jack of all trades, right?
Yeah, definitely. And the training really fully equips you. So so one of the things that we haven't touched on today is abortion pill reversal. And I know that Dr. Matthew Harrison was one of the founding physicians for that protocol of progesterone. So can you tell us just a little bit about APR and the hotline available?
Yeah, abortion pill reversal is an incredible regimen that can help a woman after she's taken the first pill of the two-pill chemical abortion procedure, chemical abortion regimen, where she can get on a progesterone regimen to counteract the effects of that first pill, right? Mm-hmm. And prospectively save the life of her child. Because that two-pill chemical abortion regimen, what it does is the first pill blocks progesterone. It is, in essence, starves the baby, right? Progesterone is what supports the pregnancy and allows the baby to grow. And the second pill, Cytotec, is the one that expels, right? And again, it's just as problematic and even horrific as it sounds. And we've heard this firsthand from women who have actually walked through this this procedure. We have a staff member who had taken the chemical abortion regimen in her past and you know, had to even go back to the abortion facility because she was so sick and bleeding so much, right? Abby Johnson has an incredible testimony about, you know, just how tough the chemical abortion regimen was on her body and much less, of course, you know, knowing how it took the life of her child, right? Yeah. So abortion pill reversal is an incredible solution for women who take that first pill and feel regret. And so they can call this hotline that is set up through Heartbeat International. So this regimen is set up through Heartbeat International, one of the largest pregnancy center systems in the world. And when they call in, they'll get connected through option line, through their pregnancy help line, and get connected to a nurse who can explain to them that they can get them to a medical provider who can get them on that progesterone regimen and work to counteract the effects of the first pill. They've now saved thousands and thousands of babies through the abortion pill reversal regimen. Again, this is just progesterone. This is often progesterone injections. I think there's a couple of other ways that they can provide progesterone to that woman to counteract the effects of the first pill. This isn't novel. This is science, right?
Right.
This isn't anything weird or strange or odd chemicals. The abortion industry loves to paint it like that. But bottom line, this is good medicine that a woman, women have this option to supplement this hormone that is literally being pulled from their body. So I'm just so grateful for Heartbeat International and the abortion pill reversal protocol.
Totally. So I'm so glad that our sidewalk advocates can alert people to this information because it's really, truly vital. So after so many years of doing what you've done, Lauren, with sidewalk advocacy, I know you must have so many stories of people that you've encountered on the sidewalk. Could you share one? I'm sure there's many, many more that you have, but could you share one that really stands out in your memory?
Yeah. So there was one day on the sidewalk in Tampa, Florida, where a few of us from the national team were present together. And it's always a treat when us national team members can be present together on the sidewalk, because usually we're off with the team over here or someone else is off with the team over here, right? So this was the day that we were going to be later serving our Florida leaders. So we decided to hit the sidewalk that morning at an abortion facility in Tampa. And I still remember that there had been one really easy turn away. We let a woman know of the help at the Pregnancy Resource Center next door. She was 12 weeks pregnant. She was trying to figure out what she wanted to do about her pregnancy. And she heard about all of our wonderful resources. And so we got her over to the Pregnancy Center next door. It was really that easy. But it was the second client that was the most interesting. So this was a mom that already had two little girls from a previous relationship, and she was walking into the abortion facility with her sister and with her boyfriend. And the sister and boyfriend were also really on the fence about her seeking an abortion. And I remember reaching out to this mom, and she's given permission for me to use her name, but I remember reaching out to Amber, and Amber was receptive to me giving her a gift bag with literature that, you know, enumerated all the wonderful free services at the Pregnancy Center next door. And, you know, I just told her how much we cared about her, how we wanted to save her from the pain of this abortion, that there was so much help next door, that we were a community of love and support, that she wasn't alone. And she let me know that she already had two little girls and that she was really nervous about welcoming a third child into her life. But here was this boyfriend that was ready and willing to stand next to her, that was even maybe challenging her a little bit, like, hey, are you sure that you want to do this? Right. And, I don't usually say this to a mom on the sidewalk. This is, I think, why it's so important for us to be in prayer. But I really felt that I was supposed to just throw out there, you know, what if this is the little boy that you've been waiting for? And her sister actually spoke up and said, that's actually what I said to her earlier this morning, you know? It's always a risk saying something like that, but it just, it felt right. And so I put it out there and I said, you know, just know that when you go in there, they're probably going to treat you like a dollar sign. And we're out here not to make money. We don't make money off of your decision. We're here because we care.
Right.
We're here because we care about what happens to you after this, about the long-term effects of this decision.
Yeah.
And so she really paused and she said, okay, I want to go in and hear what they have to say. And I let her know that we would be out there praying for her, that we were there when she was ready to accept that help. Right. So they went in and they told us later that when they went inside, that they felt darkness. And this is so important that we don't freak out when we've made a valiant offer of help on the sidewalk and they still decide to go inside the abortion facility.
Right.
Because like famous sidewalk counseling priest Monsignor Riley says, some clients need to feel the contrast between the light on the sidewalk and the darkness of the abortion facility. And if we have done our job, they want to be back out with us on the sidewalk. Right. And so that's why it's so important that we maintain even that professional, but of course, peaceful, prayerful disposition, that we don't flip out and we don't get desperate and we don't start yelling or we don't start doing something that we wouldn't be proud of, right? Yeah. We just reassure them that we're going to maintain that support out on the sidewalk, that we're waiting for them. And so again, when they were inside and they felt that darkness, they started to cry.
Oh, and it
was so interesting because she remembered me saying to her that they were going to possibly treat her like a dollar sign inside. And she said, when they got inside, it was all about money. In fact, they actually asked if she would pay cash and not pay with credit card or pay with another form of payment, because they really wanted that cash for some reason. Really, really interesting. Was there something unethical going on there? I don't know. And so after they began to cry, they remembered the offer of help. And I still remembered that, you know, when they had gone inside from our perspective, I looked at Nate, our vice president, and I said, we need to stop and pray.
Yeah.
So we started to pray for them and we hadn't even said amen. And they were walking out of the facility.
Wow.
And I just looked at her real calmly and I said, are you ready to accept our help next door? And she said, yeah, we are. And I said, awesome. Now, of course, I wanted to like jump up and down and be a total goon and, you know, slobber all over myself. And, you know, again, I really encourage everybody to remember, we still got to maintain that disposition so that she sees that we are that professional rock for her as well. So I just smiled and I said, all right, let's go. And so we walked her next door to the pregnancy center and my phone number had been on the gift bag that we had given her earlier, that morning. And so I think it was like a week or two later, she actually texted me and said, thank you, Lauren, for being there for us that day. I just found out that I'm having a boy.
Wow.
And I'm ready to do whatever I need to for my son. And so we went back, like, I think it was 3 months later, we threw them a baby shower. And early that spring, soon after the baby shower, little Cameron was born. So we actually got to hold Cameron in our arms, and we went back and did a photo shoot with him and his family. We gifted him that. We asked if they wouldn't mind if we used one of the pictures in our new crisis pregnancy pamphlet that we actually hand out on the sidewalk. So Elizabeth, you may not know this, but one of the pictures inside our pamphlet is Amber and Cameron and her testimony from that day.
Oh my God.
So it just was such a beautiful thing, but, and it even gets better than that. Her boyfriend, Charles, went on to ask her to marry him. So they became a family more officially, right? They've been a family before, but more officially, he became a husband.
Wow.
And he actually adopted the two other little girls. They went on to have another little girl, and he went on to serve our country in the armed forces. Most recently, they were stationed in Germany, and I believe they just recently came back to the United States. Nate, actually, our vice president, kept in touch with the dad, Charles, and they've truly become friends, and we trade messages with them now and then. But one of these days, I'm going to go sit next to little Cameron at now five or six years old and celebrate his life once again, I'm sure. But yeah, such a beautiful story, such a beautiful story of such a profound yes from a mom at a pretty pivotal moment in her life. Right.
Yes. God is so good. God is so, so good. You know, thank you for sharing that and that reminder, Lauren, of what God can do out on the sidewalk. And, you know, I just want to encourage everyone to visit sidewalkadvocates.org to learn more about Sidewalk Advocates for Life and to find out how you can get involved. As Lauren said, by joining a team or starting a new one, by making a donation, by joining our national prayer team, there is still so much work to be done. And only by working together can we truly make an abortion unthinkable. You know, Lauren, I just want to thank you so much for your time today. I have really enjoyed the conversation.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure, Elizabeth. And thank you to everyone who listened to this broadcast. Please know that I'm praying for you as well as you discern your next steps in post-Roe America. But again, I can't emphasize enough that we really need everyone in this battle. Abortion has not ended in the post-Dobbs era, in the post-Roe era, right? We need all hands on deck because children are still losing their lives and women are still being affected. Families are being affected. And it could be because of a yes that you give that someone has life. And so there's really no greater mission apart from the mission of the church for souls, right? Where we get to celebrate our first and greatest gift, which is life itself. And so really, truly, by you saying yes, by you being there for a friend, a cousin, a coworker who's experiencing an unexpected pregnancy, or by you saying yes to actually going to the sidewalk and just offering those loving, life-affirming alternatives, really, it can be that simple. Just handing someone some information, women will turn around, right? Offering them a free pregnancy test and sonogram, women will turn around, all the way up to really just helping people work out their very difficult feelings around this issue. Again, we've seen it all on the sidewalk. We need all walks of life, all personalities, man and woman, young, old, introvert or extrovert, no matter who you are. I've seen people be successful at this mission. All you have to do is say yes, and we'll provide the training tools and support that you need to be successful in what God has called you to do.
Wow. Thank you, Lauren. Such a wonderful way to close. Thanks so much again.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Carolina Catholic Media Showcase. For more information about us and to support our nonprofit mission of broadcasting the message of Jesus Christ, visit CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and follow, friend, and like us on social media by searching for Carolina Catholic Radio.